Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg, and welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. I'm excited today to have two very special guests on the call with me. Marcia Melhoff is my sister. I have three sisters, and Marcia is the sister that's just younger than me, and she's joining us today to talk with us about a vendor. She was recently the co-chair of an administrator's event, a conference, and she came up with an idea to attract more vendors, and it was very successful. So we are going to be picking her brain about that. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Marnie. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Excited. And then our other guest today, Carrie Johnson, and she happens to be in the studio with me. Studio is a very fancy word for for where we are together. But we're together, and we're excited to have Carrie here. She was the, well, what would you call yourself for the event?
I would say that I was just the visionary, someone who just dreamed that it could happen and followed a dream.
She put together, with a team, a large team, she put together an event that had over 1,000 registrants who were all coming to a town with 2,700 people, a total population, and with the guest was Liz Curtis Higgs, and she's going to share with us some of the tips and strategies that they use to get that many people to come out for an event. I'm excited to have you listeners here today, too, because we've got a lot to share, a lot of ground to cover, and two guests who, this is the first time either of them have been on the radio in this capacity as a guest, and so I want you to also be encouraged that if you have something to share, that there is probably a place for you on this call or on another radio show at some point. Don't be afraid, and I'm going to just encourage Carrie and Marcia to just be brave and tell us what's on your heart. We're going to start out here by talking with Carrie a little bit about what your team did to host this very large event, and I've had fun just getting to know you a little bit this afternoon in person here and learning more about the program. For you listeners, she has a three-ring binder that is full of the details and the information that she kept as such good records. And going back through it, I was able to be at that event myself as a participant. Going back through it just brought back so many memories. It was such a powerful time. It's such a good time for us as participants. But your team, Carrie, really had a bond too, didn't they?
It was just amazing how one-minded we were. We brought in ladies from five different churches and some of the people I didn't even know before we started this. And by the end, it was just like we were sisters, like you and your sister here. But they were all leaders in their own church and people who just are used to getting things done. And I was really anticipating that we would have some locking of horns because they're all just very much leaders. But God united us in a way that was just amazing. And decisions were easily made and just moved on to the next thing.
You know, the second point, and listeners, if you haven't already done so, you want to download the call notes, the show notes, either from Marnie.com at the blog or over at Blog Talk Radio at Marnie's Friends. But, Carrie, you had mentioned that your number two here is avoid the desire to micromanage. How much influence do you think that one thing had on the flowing of your team?
I think that everyone really felt that they were responsible for a certain area within this conference, and we were not going to try to step in and make decisions for them. They were responsible for it, and they ran with it. But at the same time, we were a team, and if they were starting to feel overwhelmed, the other team members would step forth and give them whatever help they needed.
Yeah, and that's how a team should be, isn't it?
It was truly a team right from the very beginning, yeah. Back to choosing the people for our team, we chose people. We didn't ask for volunteers. We chose them. We selected people according to their spiritual giftedness. I felt that was just really important to for them to be able to do the job effortlessly. It was just pure joy to work within their area of gifting, and it wasn't a hardship. It was just flowed so effortlessly. It was just really wonderful. And the other thing was that we had at least two people working in each category. Women are very relational, and it seems like two women working together can get three times the work done. And so it was using more minds coming together as one. So that was very effective also.
So would you say that people kind of need to know, how did you find these people if they're from all different churches? How did you find the people for your committee?
We had had a Bible study, Love by God Bible study by Liz Curtis Higgs, and so many people registered. We had about 96 people register for that Bible study that we needed to have small group leaders so we could separate them into smaller groups. And many of these I really became acquainted with as those small group leaders. Now, not all of them served on the committee, you know, but I did ask certain ones because I worked with them either at work at Polaris Industries or through that Bible study. Mm-hmm. And then there's other areas that I really was at a loss of who to ask. But then the people that were already on board, they knew somebody who would really be strong in those areas. So they helped out that way.
You know, it's really an interesting thing, and you guys didn't do this on purpose, but a lot of event planners do it on purpose. God did it for you. But what you guys did, you had a Bible study in advance with the speaker that you were going to bring in as the author of that study. Library systems know that if they have a book club before they bring in the author, it's going to increase buy-in, it's going to increase people's enjoyment level, it's going to increase attendance, and God did that for you without you knowing that you were doing it. But it's a wonderful strategy that we can all learn from, and it surely did work. It was interesting, you were telling me earlier that you had personally heard Liz Curtis Higgs on previous occasions. And tell everybody what you told me about what you thought when you were hearing her.
I was able to be in the audience four times. I listened to Liz four times live, and I remember it was in Winnipeg where I had the thought that, oh, I just wish that everybody I know could hear through my ears what I am hearing right now. It was just a dream to be able to share what I was hearing with other ladies.
God just really put that particular seed in your heart, and then she agreed to come, even though we are, like, how could she ever say yes? That was amazing. It's such a small community. It's not like what she normally does.
That is so true. During the Bible study, we arranged to have a telephone conversation with her, so we visited with her and the 96 participants for about 20 minutes, and at the very end of that conversation, I asked Liz, would you ever consider coming to Roseau for a women's conference? And her question was, what major metropolis are you close to? And everybody just burst out laughing because, of course, you know, 2 hours in any direction is the first major metropolis. So small town, USA.
Ah, so interesting. And just for listeners, in case they have a group and want to have a conference call with an author at some point, how did you guys actually go about handling that?
In the Bible study, they had an email address that we could email directly to her husband, Bill, who was her business manager, and we arranged a time that they would call in, and we had a speaker phone conversation with them.
Did the gals actually get to talk to her?
No. We had some telephone problems, and so I had to go into a different room, and so they heard the whole conversation, and I had gathered their questions previously, so I did ask their questions, you know, but I was the only one who talked directly to her.
You know, it's one of the huge strategies that I wanted to talk about today, because the easiest way to exponentially grow your audience is to have it be aired live online in some way, using a Blog Talk Radio type format, or recording it and making it available afterwards as an iPod download. All of these ways, what happens is that you've got people who can come and then you've got people who can't come. And you can really increase the size of your audience, the reach of the guest, if you can air it live online too at the same time. And it can't really be as simple as having her wear just an extra mic. You know, it can be that simple to do that. And really, it really changes it for everybody who can't be there. And they have an opportunity to listen that way. Now, in publicity, we're just going to tap into this. In fact, I think before we do tap into it, why don't we just cover, you guys made a video. And in the video, you showed a clip of Liz Curtis Higgs actually speaking. That's, again, God tells you what to do. But for people who are looking for ideas to increase attendance, that's another one of the key factors, is that you want to let people actually taste the style, the presentation style of the speaker, and then they are better able to make a decision, is this somewhere I want to go? Now, when you guys did it, you didn't just use the speaker video. You had Keisha being the announcer, and then there was the clip going in the background. That was really a creative way to do marketing.
That was my husband's idea. He's the one who was behind the camera, and he is the one who did the computer work to put it together and put it on YouTube. We also burned some CDs that we sent out to anybody that would receive one just to advertise. So I have to give him the credit for that. And we got permission to take some of her images off of one of her VHS recordings that she had of one of her, it was the introduction that she had for her VHS topic.
And all you did was ask for permission.
Right, yeah. And we sent them a copy of the DVD and asked if we could use that for advertising.
Yeah, really, really powerful and effective. This is Marnie Swedberg. Today I'm visiting with Terry Johnson, the coordinator or the overseer visionary for a large event in a small town, and also with Marcia Melhoff, the co-chair of an administrators conference, who's going to be sharing with us in just a few minutes about a creative idea to getting more vendor participation. We're going to take a short break and come right back.
Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. Ideasforwomensministry.com.
Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm excited to have you along today for another episode of Marnie's Friends. Each week I interview someone who's an expert on something, whether they consider themselves that or not. I know my guest today would laugh out loud when I say this, but you know, I'm so excited to have them here because really, truly, they have had experiences that most people haven't had. They've been somewhere and done something well and had a good outcome, and they have information to share that can really help us all do a better job at what God's calling us to do. Terry works for Polaris Industries as a data analyst. That's her day job. And Marcia works at BCG International as a membership specialist. And both of these gals helped to coordinate events that had very interesting outcomes compared to maybe what had been done in the past. And so that's why they are here with us today. So glad that you are here listening in, too. I wanted to go back and just touch on touch on a few of the other ways, Terry, that you guys promoted the event. And if you're just joining us, Terry, your team was able to work together with promotion, with God's blessing, with Liz Curtis Haig coming as a guest, to get, it was close to 1,100 registrations.
That's right, yep.
And you're in a town of 2,700 people, very remote. People had to drive a long way. And even it wasn't so easy for people to get there at the exact date because roads were closed. What was going on?
There was a flood in North Dakota, and so the Red River was out of its banks, and there wasn't an open bridge to connect North Dakota with Minnesota. So all of our sisters that registered from North Dakota were unable to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Yeah, and yet still, what was your attendance?
We estimated just under 1,000. We had 1,075 registered. We had probably about 200 walk in that day, and we had only made 1,100 lunches, so God had it all figured out ahead of time anyway. So,
tell us about the lunches, too, because I was there, and the lunch was just sweet. It was in a styrofoam container. Everything was self-contained in that styrofoam container. We got a sandwich. It was a little croissant.
It was a croissant with turkey filling, lettuce, and some of the condiments to go with that. We had a cookie, a chocolate bar, a little chocolate mint, actually, a bag of carrots, and a bottled water.
All in the containers. One of the things that I thought you guys did that was just brilliant was you just went with one choice. And when you're trying to put through 1,100 women, and your lunch break was it an hour?
It was an hour, yes.
An hour for 1,100 women. You have to be able to get them through that line very quickly. And by having this all self-contained like that, even the water in the styro, it was very slick. I couldn't even believe how fast we got our food. And then we're able to just relax and talk about what we'd learned so far and have just a really nice long break instead of waiting in line for half of that time. Tell us about what you guys have said together, because it's a fun story, too.
We had one of our committee members, they organized getting all of the food at the same location, at the same time, at the school cafeterias where we constructed them. 15 ladies, old, young, coming from several different churches, got together, and they put together 1,100 lunches in 2 hours. It was awesome. It was another little piece of heaven. They were just working side by side and laughing the whole time as they participated in this ministry.
I just love it. 1,100 hours in 2 hours. I love
and,
it. Served
and then the line, I think it only took about 15 minutes for all ladies to file through the line, get their lunches, and sit down and eat.
Yeah.
We did run out of table space, though, as you know. They were willing to just sit in the halls and just plop down wherever they found a space, and they seemed to be just content to do that. It was,
Sure, so fun. Well, let's go back for just a few more minutes, Terry, and talk about the different ways that you guys promoted the event, because obviously you did a wonderful job with promotion. You had this YouTube video, and you didn't have a web page that had the video on it, as well as some registration information.
Yes, we did. That was constructed through our church. Yeah.
And then you also had a Facebook account?
No, we didn't have a Facebook account, but I think that we had some people put it on Facebook. You know, I'm going to this conference. I'll see you there. That just being bold to put it out there on Facebook.
I just have to encourage you listeners that this is much more powerful than we give it credit for. Hopefully you are giving credit to the power of word-of-mouth advertising and the amazing power to exponentially use that with Twitter and Facebook. If you have people who are willing to put out little notes along the way, exciting things that are happening or, you know, landmarks maybe that you pass in the planning committee stages, it's just really incredible the effect that can have the social media. You also had... you wrote here, websites for newspaper information.
There's just all kinds of information on the Internet. I just typed in Minnesota newspapers and got the listing by town of the address And, of course, the newspaper would pop up. But then from there, you can get their email address. And we wrote out just a press release, and we sent it to all of those email addresses. So we got that advertisement for free. We didn't actually know if it hit the paper or not, but we didn't get a refusal either. So, and we did see the article was in some of the newspapers. You know, back to the Facebook and the email and things like this, it's just amazing how many women will come if they know they have someone to sit with. And that is one thing that the Facebook and email will do. If I know that you are coming, I am more likely to come if I have someone to sit with.
You bet. You bet. And then as far as email, did you have a list to start with, some gals to contact by email, or is that something you just have now, afterwards?
We have now. No, we had nothing to start with. We just used those 96 women and all of their contacts, you know, their friends and their relatives, and so we just sent out to the small group leaders, and they sent it to their members of their Bible study group, and then from there they sent it out to their friends and used that sort of networking.
Did you have a packet when you say they're sending things? Was it a physical packet, or was it an email invitation, or what were you sending?
Now I'm talking that we sent just an email information. We did send out physical packets to churches, the area churches. We found a website, www.churchangel.com, that has the addresses of churches by state, and then you can select the town. So we just made a Excel spreadsheet of all that information and made the labels, and then we did send out physical hard copies of advertising and bulletin inserts and just registration forms and posters.
Do you remember at all how many you sent out?
I think to 750 churches.
Mailing list. Well, that's so cool. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm visiting with Terry Johnson right now. She's the visionary behind a large women's event that occurred last year with Liz Curtis Higgs in Roseau, Minnesota. And it was the first time you'd ever done anything quite like that.
Absolutely. Out of this world, something I had never attempted.
Well, I know you were telling me earlier it was just goosebumps for a whole year.
It was. God was in control from the very beginning, and we were just trying to keep up with him.
So fun. Well, I know you asked me what it is that I always say, and it's like sitting on the back of a rocket ship, and I know that's how you guys felt that whole time. Now, when you have down here number 7, you have pray, and this was actually not your number 7.
No, it was not my number 7, no.
Your number 1. Let's just talk about some of the different ways that you prayed. Committee prayer, just tell us about how you actually did it.
We had Liz under contract 18 months before the actual speaking date, and we met as a committee monthly. And before each of our meetings, we would spend sometimes 5 minutes in prayer, sometimes 15. We would read some scripture and see how it applied to this event, and just really make it a priority to spend time in prayer. As a committee, then, as we got closer to the event, I stole some information from a book because I was taking a class at the time. The book is called Leading Women's Ministries by Pamela Heim. And in there, she was just really specific on being very intentional about your prayer time. And I really did get a lot of hints on how to manage this and when to concentrate more specifically in different areas. About 6 months before the event, I made out a list of what to pray for each day of the week. And then 1 month before the event, constructed a prayer calendar for the month prior to the event, for each day of the month prior to the event, and sent that out with the wristbands to everyone who had registered. So we had all of the people who were attending also praying for the event. But I think I get goosebumps now even thinking that the peak of the iceberg, I think, was when we got together as a planning committee the Thursday before the Saturday event, and we prayed out loud for each person who was attending the event. We had 14 ladies praying all at the same time, mentioning every registrant by name. That was very emotional for us, and it was, like I said, I just get goosebumps now thinking of this has got to be what it's like in heaven, everyone praying together in unison and giving the praise to God.
What amazing commitment to take time to go through them all name by name, and what an awesome, powerful.
It was very, very powerful, yeah.
You mentioned a moment ago a book. I'm going to help you, if you're listening, to get that title and author. It's Leading Women's Ministries, and the author is Pamela Hoover Heim. The last name Heim is spelled H-E-I-M, and that is put out by Harp Publications. Again, it's Leading Women's Ministries, and I know you just really, really can't hardly more highly recommend the book.
It would be the top of my recommended list, yes.
Awesome. Well, this is Marnie Sweberg. That was Terry Johnson visiting with us. She's going to come back after a little while, but we're going to come back after break and talk with Marcia Melhoff a little bit about her creative vendor attraction plan and how that might work for you, too. We'll be right back.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com.
Hi, this is Marnie Sweberg. Welcome back to you. If you aren't already on the mailing list, the email list, to get the Marnie Minutes, you need to do that so that you can never miss any of these programs that are of interest to you. Every week I interview a different guest, or like today, a couple guests, on a specific topic of interest to women in roles of leadership, positions of leadership. And I always say we're all leaders. We're all, somebody's watching you, even if it's your toddler. Somebody's watching you. You are leading someone, and it's important that we do the best job we can. Today, our topic is about maximizing your women's conference attendance and vendor sponsorships. Our next guest is my sister. I have three sisters, and this is Marcia. She is the sister right on, and people say, Marnie, Marcia, what's going on there? And there's a Marla, and then there's a Vicky. And so I think they were trying to break them all there with Vicky, and they did. She's awesome. We all get along so great. And she doesn't quite look like the rest of us. We're all about the same, you know, in the same range height. And then she's 6 foot tall, and she's just an awesome gal, too. But today, Marcia is joining me. And I asked Marcia to join us because she helped coordinate an administrators conference recently, an admin conference, and she used a creative approach to attracting vendors that helped to pay for the cost of the conference. And now, Terry, when she did hers, they didn't do the vendor relationships in this way. They didn't have booths and things like this. So we're going to kind of change gears here for a little bit and talk with Marcia about what she did and some other tips and ideas here that we have, too. So welcome to you, Marcia.
Thank you, Marnie. It is really nice being here with you. Thank you.
Oh, and nice to be together.
Yeah. I think I want to set up what I talk about just a little bit. When people go to do a vendor show, it's often very difficult because you're like, how do you get people to actually show up for the vendor show and make it interesting to them? And how do you show the benefit to the vendors? Because a lot of times the vendor show is, if, especially like administrative assistants, they're very busy and it's very hard to get out of work. And so, yeah, they can justify it for an education event, but to go to a vendor show seems more optional. And even I've skipped them on many occasions. And so I wanted to do something that would draw them in and make them want to attend.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You were really trying to attract both the vendors as well as the participants with this idea.
Correct. I described it as going for the win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, typically at a vendor event that you've been to or you've worked with, you guys have brought in a speaker. Is that correct?
Correct. We would have an hour or two of education, and then we'd also have this vendor expo as part of that event.
Right.
And so
that's
be,
what you're saying.
Yep, yep. And so
yeah.
It would be before, after, or in the middle of that.
Okay, so everybody leave the floor to go to an educational session.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, tell us about what you did this time.
I tried to combine the two. I really was, again, looking for something that would draw people in. I'd done a little bit of research on the generation coming up and how they have different expectations. And so as I was looking at their expectations, I thought, what can I give them that would make the vendor show of value to them? And I thought about how on the Internet we have blogs, these little sheets that give you really short one piece of information that it's just kind of just this really quick bite-sized piece. And I thought, what if I were able to put out that type of education during my vendor show and allow the vendors to be the ones giving it?
So how did you actually go about, what did you do first? So this is kind of a different idea. So what did you do first?
Well, I figured out how I wanted it to be, how I wanted it to work and the flow. And mind you, it was my first attempt, so it worked well for this first attempt. I think I'd keep reworking like the floor plan a little bit. But my thought was that if I built energy in the room, which often energy is just noise that isn't negative. If people are loud but not yelling at each other, we're good. It's energy. And so I thought if I put the presentations in the room with the vendors, it would build up some of the energy and it would get interaction and volume going that would help the event be more appealing to people. Then I also thought if I had the vendors give the presentations, if I made it clear that what they were giving was education and not advertisement, that this was to be a blog where they actually taught people something useful, then at the end of their presentation, they could then lead them back into their product, much as you do with a blog. And so then, yeah. So at the end, they could have like a question time that maybe would run over their 15 minutes that then they could say, well, come back to my table and I'll tell you more.
Ha, cool. Did you, when you set up the rooms, did people stand to listen to these or did they sit?
They did stand. It was one of the drawbacks. It worked really well because I had a lower attendance. Had it been a larger attendance, it would have needed more of a seating area, and you know, it was such a new concept. Vendors, people helping me put on the expo, really didn't get what I was trying to do, and yet some of them really got it and bought into it and just loved it. And but it's about engagement. You need to find a way to connect with the vendors, with the attendees. And this education piece allowed that connection or facilitated it. Yeah.
So in the end, how many vendors actually got to do a presentation?
18.
Oh, and my goodness.
I had 30 vendors, and I had 18 presentations.
Wow. Okay. And how long was each presentation?
I actually had 15-minute presentations, and I had them going the whole 2 hours, and I had four at a time going.
Oh, my goodness. So there was a lot of commotion in there.
There was a bit going on, yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's wild. Okay, and then you had a fun way, because I think one of the things that you could foresee was that it was going to be too chaotic to just assume that everybody was going to quit on time and move to the next, you know, move to the next gate or whatever they were doing there. You had a very neat and creative way that you added fun to the event. Tell us about that.
Well, my committee was like, Marcia, you got to do something here. And so we agreed that it would be a bell. So somebody actually brought me an old-fashioned school bell that I could ring. And they were like, but you need to stand out, Marcia, and wear a hat. And, well, some hats look good on me and some hats don't. And I was thinking the kind of hat we would need probably wouldn't look the best. So I went to a dollar store, and it just so happened they had a Hawaiian theme going. And one of the things that they had was just like a cutout. It was this beautiful bright red parrot on a stick. And it just stood up straight. It was 2 feet tall, the parrot was, and the stick was maybe another 2 feet. And so I was able to carry this really cute parrot up over my head. And so I would just, at the end of the 15 minutes, I'd just walk through the room ringing the bell, time to change, and holding up my parrot. And it was very fun. People enjoyed it. In fact, I had several people trying to take the parrot home.
Oh, funny, funny. Group parent. Well, now I'm curious about you had mentioned to me that one of the priorities that you have is that when you bring vendors in that they have good visibility. Talk to us a little bit about how you actually managed to give good visibility to your vendors.
Well, again, it was one of those counterintuitive things. Normally when you have a vendor show, you have aisles. And I did not want aisles because people like pick and choose where they go. They lose half of the aisle because they're going down looking at one side and not the other. And so I had it ring the room. And that was part of why I put my presentations in the middle, was it kept the room open. And then the next thing that I did was I pushed all the tables against the wall and didn't provide any chairs. So my vendors actually had to stand out by their table, and again, it was a case of, you know how they talk about in church that they're getting rid of pulpits because it puts this point of separation between the preacher and the congregation and almost makes you feel like he's above you or something. That it's the same with a vendor presentation. If they're sitting behind, it's a immediate disconnect. And so if they're standing beside, it becomes more of a co-feeling, like they're here with you, and it just warms up the and opens up for more engagement.
Yeah, for sure, sure. And then you also had, you know, every venue, wherever you are, there's always somebody stuck back in a corner or off off
yeah.
of this place. Nobody can find them. You had a very creative way to bring those people into the room. What did you do?
Well, we actually had a back hallway that nobody could see. And so when I put one of my presentation booths back in the corner so that they had to walk all the way down that hallway to get to that person. And then I also put the food so that everybody could see the food, but when they came to the food, they saw that back aisle. So it was they were drawn to that area specifically.
I just love it. I've often felt so sorry for the people who get the tables in the corners and, you know, down the
yeah.
halls. And it's like, you know, their traffic is so much diminished because of their location. And that was such a creative way to handle that. Now, did you guys have, did you guys give vendors also an ad in a program? Or what other kind of publicity did you give for your vendors?
We had a flat rate for the booth and a separate rate for putting an ad in our brochure that we handed out. And then if they did them both, we discounted that.
Okay, and how about if they're a presenter? Did you?
You know, I didn't. Nothing. I figured they wanted to present, and I was right. And so I didn't give them. I told them that their presenting was part of their benefit of being there.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. It worked out for most of them. It worked out really well. It didn't work out so well for the colleges because most of the colleges have like a marketing person. So the thought of the marketing person educating was a bit intimidating for them.
Who was your personal favorite presenter? Did you get to see any?
I got to see just one and then decided that probably wasn't a good thing for me to be doing.
How about feedback? Did you get feedback as far as was there a favorite type of a presentation?
You know, there. I did not get feedback on favorites. I got feedback on I shouldn't have had so many going at the same time, and I needed to give more time for everything.
It's more inner. I think that's one of the things, too, and maybe Terry, at this point, let's bring you back in, too. Giving enough time is a really critical factor, isn't it? Terry, maybe address any thoughts you have on that. I just brought you in with a tiny time.
Hello. I don't understand. Rephrase the question, please.
You gave an hour for lunch, and you did that knowing that you had everything ready so it would just take 15 minutes to go through the line. If you were going to send people out into the community to get their own lunches, you would have needed to give them more time to order,
yeah,
drugs,
yeah,
like that. And just the timing thing, it does take time to actually do things. Like, for instance, on yours with 1,100 women, how long of a bathroom break did you give between?
We got some input from Liz and Bill Higgs on this. We sent them our schedule that we had planned, and they said with this amount of women, 15 minutes is what we had allowed for a bathroom break, and that, what they said, was just not enough. And so at their encouragement and wisdom, we increased that to a half an hour break. And then if we hadn't have had the noon meal on site, we probably would have allowed an hour and a half for lunch. Yes.
For sure. One of the fun things that comes up when we talk about bathrooms is a lot of times on an occasion like this when it's all women, you take over the men's room too.
Absolutely.
You need good signage and to let the only man on premise or two men on premise know what's going on. And then also, what was the comment that you guys got that was kind of humorous?
Well, we did have a survey at the end, and we asked them their comments and some any ways that we could improve for a future conference. And they said, oh, there are no waste baskets in the men's bathrooms. And so that was something we had overlooked.
You know, there's a lot of little things that are easy to overlook, aren't there?
There are, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Marcia, when you guys bring in vendor partners then, do you have a website that they get visibility at?
We don't at this time.
Okay.
It is something that we discussed.
Yeah. One of the ones that I like, if you do have a website and you're wanting to promote your vendors at your website, if you go to the Kentucky Derby site, it's just KentuckyDerby.com, scroll down on that page, and their vendor promotion, so it's a reciprocal promotion. What happens is the vendor gives them funding. They give the vendor promotion, but KentuckyDerby.com, just scrolling down, beautiful, beautiful. If just that could be our dream someday, to give our vendors that much that much great space on our website and in such a lovely way. Now, another thing that you can do with vendors is you can give them mention in news releases that who's going to be there, and especially if they're doing presentations, that's an awesome thing. One thing you can do is you can give free tickets out. They can either use them to come or to send staff members, or they can give them away in their businesses as either part of a drawing or whatever. Everything that you can do with your vendors to work together to get the word out there is so helpful. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm visiting today with Terry Johnson and Marcia Malhoff on maximizing your women's conference attendance and vendor sponsorship. We're going to come right back in just a minute and talk a little bit more about how we can encourage people to be vendor partners and how we can honor them once they say yes. We'll be right back.
Okay, ladies, who in your circle of friends would be an awesome speaker for local church women's teas, scrapbooking retreats, and stuff like that? We all have friends who are great speakers, but hardly anyone knows they exist. Right now, send a message to your speaker friend and encourage her to register at womenspeakers.com, the largest online Christian women's speakers directory in the world. There are free and paid listings available, and you know what? Your friend is going to love you for telling her about womenspeakers.com.
Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie Swedberg, and today my guests are Terry Johnson and Marcia Malhoff. They're both close to me. Terry's close to me physically. She's in the same room. And Marcia's close to me through blood. She's my sister, and I'm so excited to have you both with me today, and all of you listeners, so glad that you're here too. I wanted to start this last segment by quoting Jackie Thornton, who is she's the president of Global Marketing and PR Incorporated. She says, companies sponsor events, and we'll call them at this point vendor sponsors, but they might not even come to the event. They might just sponsor it with money. But the reasons they sponsor it, she gives four reasons that companies will sponsor events. They sponsor events to enhance the reputation and image of their own company through association with you. Number two, they sponsor to give product brands high visibility among their key audiences. Number three, they want to provide a focal point for marketing efforts and sales campaigns. And number four, they want to generate publicity and media coverage. When you take all of these things into account, when you're trying to attract vendors, you have a much greater chance of them actually saying yes to you. Yes, we'll give you money. Yes, we'll come alongside you. Yes, we'll help you. We'll send somebody. We'll give free product. We'll make a donation. But you do have to pay attention to these four things. Of all, it was enhance the reputation and image of the sponsoring company through association with you. Number two, give product brand high visibility among key audiences, and underline that key audience part there. They know who their audience is, and you need to know that before you talk to them. Then number three, provide a focal point for marketing efforts and sales campaigns. And number four, generate publicity and media coverage. One of the best things you can do for both your guest speaker, if you're bringing in a guest, as well as your sponsors or vendor relationships, is you can help them get publicity and media coverage by giving them something exciting to talk about. And this even works for individuals who are philanthropists, because what happens is that they don't have really anything to talk about until they do something newsworthy. Sponsoring an event is newsworthy. Hosting an event is newsworthy. Speaking at an event is newsworthy. So all of a sudden, they get their name in the news again, and this helps to generate more awareness of their existence and of their goals and of their outcomes that they're trying to achieve with their life or with their business. So that's one of the things to keep in mind, is what's in it for the vendor. Marcia, your creative approach, by letting them talk to a large group at a time instead of just one-on-one in their booth, gave them the opportunity to do two things from my perspective, and maybe you'll have more than this, but from my perspective, as a vendor, I'm excited about that, because the number one thing I want to do with any future client or potential customer is make a connection. I want to have them get to know me as if I'm a person instead of just a product. And so you allowed them to personally present in such a way that people could get to know the presenter a little bit. And then the other thing is you allowed them to go beyond just being an advertisement. And, of course, we all like to believe our friends more than we believe in advertisement. And so by having them be a presenter, you gave them more credibility than they could ever have by just being an advertiser. Did you see any additional or different benefits than what two that I just mentioned?
You know, I had heard a presentation on engagement and drawing audiences in and getting connected. It put on by somebody who actually worked at the Renaissance Festival. He was a character, the rat catcher. And he talked about how you need to connect with your audience and draw them in. It gets to be a two-way thing. And a lot of times when you go to the vendor shows, you walk by the tables, and unless you know that you are going to get something or actually have a valid reason, you often don't go in because you feel like you're lying to them, because you don't feel like you have any benefit, so you're kind of wasting their time and that kind of thing. So by doing the presentations, it broke that barrier, because now people are connected to them. This person has said, I have something I want to give you, and I'm open to giving you more. And so it opened up that, it gave them that connection that they need so badly to be able to build a relationship. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that is recommended on a website called earsonmarketing.com, that's like the ears on your head, E-A-R-S, earsonmarketing.com, lots of good stuff over there. But one of the things they recommend is to attract vendors or sponsors by allowing them to co-sponsor a single or upcoming meeting or event. And another thing that Jackie recommended was that you divide up your event into zones and allow people to sponsor just one zone. So you would have a sponsor that would have a banner at registration, a sponsor that would have a banner at the web cafe, a sponsor that would have a banner during the opening and closing reception, or the coffee break, or the meal, that you would have sponsors that would get special recognition at certain points, and that those sponsors would be of a higher contribution level than the sponsors that just were in the program or that had a booth. And it was just another way to think about this sponsorship situation. And somebody had said, well, how do you even know how much, you know, how many sponsors you need or how much should you charge? Now, Marcia, do you guys have a formula, or is it fly by the seat of your pants, or how do you do it?
What we did last year. So we talked about different options, and there is kind of a market norm. We're part of a larger association, and there are several other chapters in the area. And so these vendors actually do a lot of vendor events. And so one of the feedback that I gave was that your price was more like what I'd pay for a full day event. But there were others who were very happy to pay it to get into this event and that kind of thing. So it really just varies.
Okay. All right. And then one of the ways that is recommended is you want to go by what's the total cost of the event, and then you use that to determine the number of sponsorship dollars you need to bring in. Sometimes you have the participants actually paying to get in the door also. So I take these things into consideration. Over at the Leadership Club at Marnie.com, there's a, in the retreat material, how to plan a retreat, there's a budget worksheet that's really helpful. And what it does is you just play with the numbers. You keep playing with the numbers, how much you're going to spend on, you know, maybe bringing a speaker in or on facility or on advertising, and how many people you're going to target bringing in. And it helps you play with the numbers to the point where you can kind of see what's going on. And you want to do that up front. You don't want to wait until then to figure out, you know, how much you might be holding a bill for. So it's a good time to do it up front. Now, Terry, when you guys did it, you had a historical number, but you knew in advance there was a signal that you needed to plan bigger. So go ahead and just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, like I mentioned before, that we had a Bible study written by Liz Curtis Higgs prior to even the concept of inviting her to come and speak. The normal attendance at our Bible studies was about 30 women. And when we had the Liz Curtis Higgs Bible study, we had 96. And so that was triple our normal number. And so when we were trying to plan for the conference, we thought, well, how many do we plan for? And we thought, well, our Bible study numbers were tripled, so let's just triple the number of our normal women's conference that we have had in previous years. And that was pretty close. We should have maybe quadrupled it rather than tripled, but it was a good reminder to keep thinking big, that God is up to something here, and he doesn't change, and he's going to carry through the end in the same manner.
It's so cool. And for those of you listening who, you know, maybe you're just listening to this and you're thinking, wow, something like that happened to us, and we really didn't pay much attention to it. Well, that's maybe exactly how it should have been, or maybe that was God trying to get your attention to say, you know, there's something going on here that's outside of the realm of normal, and you need to pay attention to what's happening. I just am so grateful for you guys, Marcia and Terry, for you being here with us today and sharing these insights and tips that will help others to be able to host events more effectively. In the notification that was sent out earlier today about the show, I promised a few things that we would talk about, and we have. I just wanted to recap them here. And also, if you haven't done so already, you can definitely download the notes from Marnie.com at the blog or over at Blog Talk Radio at Marnie's Friends. But the first one was, what is the easiest free way to increase attendance exponentially? And my recommendation there is to air it live online while it's going on. There is a tremendous amount of power that's available to us to reach farther than the walls of our churches and the walls of our meeting spaces by airing these things live, and it is not terribly complex. There's training available all over, and within the next few years, we'll have specific training on it, but God is pouring stuff as fast as we can and attempt to stay ahead of everything. But just know that airing it offline is the way to do it. I was just talking to the guy that does all the programming at a major Chicago library. Here's their experience. For if they have 125 people come to a live author event, they will have over 1,000 online listeners for that same event. It has a potential to exponentially grow your reach, and that's what we're trying to do, is reach more and more people for Jesus. And so it's just such a powerful way to take what we're doing, all that work that you're doing, and with a very easy little tweak, to let it go much broader. Now, you want to be sure to work with your guests, your presenters, to find out. Some people have contracts that say they can't do that. Other people charge more for that. You'll want to work that out ahead of time and be sure you're clear about it. Don't just assume that your guest is going to just say, oh, sure, I'll do that, because they very well may not. But it's something to look into, and it's an easy way, a free way to grow your audience. The second thing was a marketing tip that could change everything. Terry's group actually had this happen to them in advance before they ever picked their speaker, but you can do it by design. It's to do a Bible study or a book club on something that your guest wrote. And what happens by doing that is you have a friend already before she comes. You're all familiar with her. You're her fan already, and you've got a lot of momentum already building before that speaker arrives in your vicinity. The next one is 6 vendor enhancements that will increase vendor participation. These are shared by Marcia. Include the expected norms. You have to give them, if they're a vendor, they have to have a way to promote their stuff. They have to have a booth or something available like that. You have to give them what's expected, but then also add energy. And she had a great way of doing that with a bell and a parrot. Provide vendor presentation opportunities to maximize vendor visibility. She had great advice about placement of things so that the ones even in the back hall get seen and have people come by. And then be genuinely creative. Go ahead and flow with your creative juices and follow up with thank you. We didn't really touch on that, and that's kind of obvious, but I think a lot of times it does get missed. And then why you must do this one simple thing that hardly anyone does, and it is have a sample video including your guest speaker giving a part of a live presentation or a personal insight to your group, something that's personalized for you. Terry, your husband was able to help you guys put that together. You had Keisha was the spokesperson, and then you pulled in a video clip that Liz had already made in advance and got permission from them to use it. But introducing your potential attendees to who is going to be there. Once again, we're all very much into relationship these days. We're all about connection, 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 and people want to know. They don't want to be surprised when they get there. They want to know in advance, what's this going to be like? How is it going to be? How are they going to talk to me? What's going to go on? And having a little video, and we're talking short. A couple years ago, 3 minutes was the best size. Right now, they're sizing 1 minute. Very short videos. People have very short attention spans, and yet, if you can get them excited in that minute to come and see, they will come and spend a whole day with you sometimes, or a whole weekend with you at your conference, and it will be because you did a good job of promoting it. Well, this is Marnie, and I'm so excited that we've had this opportunity. Lots and lots of great material, suggestions, and ideas here for you guys today to take back to your own groups as you're planning your women's events, as you're planning your expos and conferences and retreats. And I hope that you'll check out the rest of the material over at Marnie.com as well. Thank you, Marcia, for joining us. So glad that you could be here.
Thank you, Marnie, for having me. It was fun.
Good. And Terry, thank you much for your participation. I know you guys both took time off of work here to be here today, but thank you for coming over.
Thank you, Marnie. My pleasure.
Oh, well, this was fun, and thank you, listeners, for being here. So excited that you come and that you you are interested in learning to do what you do to the best of your ability and always trying to do it as best you can and with Christ. So I encourage you to just keep on learning, listen to some of the archived trainings, and have a great day. Bye-bye now.